Coming from the States, it's hard to remember if it's afternoon or evening right now, so I had to mentally think about it. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Thomas Willingham. I'm the technical product manager for desktop virtualization. We are here today to talk about Azure Remote App. We are fortunate to have with us a member of the product team who helped develop this, Tristan Scott, a senior program manager, who will come in and basically be our demo dolly. And we do have a very demo-intensive session for you today, so expect a lot of really cool stuff. It's not just going to be me up here talking about how neat and cool the service is, although the service is neat and cool. Okay, so this picture of a guy who kind of looks like he's in jail. Kind of talks about some of the challenges we have in the environment today. Increasingly, people are bringing their own devices to work and they want to use them. We're doing surveys and 50% of people have 3+ devices on them at all times. If you kind of think about what you have on you right now, I see some of you have tablets. I'm sure you also have a phone. You may have your laptop either here or back at the hotel. So there's a proliferation of devices in the marketplace. How do you ensure that people have access and can work across these devices? So there's one challenge. Another challenge is responding to the dynamic business needs. So different businesses have different needs. Some have seasonal needs. During certain holidays, you may have increase in demand. You may employ additional workers during that time. How do you meet the needs of those additional demands? Recently, Microsoft purchased Nokia, merger and acquisition of Nokia. We received an influx of a large number of employees. They approached the remote desktop services team and said, hey, how can we onboard these 18,000 plus new people with minimal impact on the network environment? And so they were looking to overcome this issue of all these additional people. So we have mergers and acquisitions, you have seasonal employees, vendors. How do you ensure vendor access where they may bring their own device and you want to ensure that your data and resources isn't compromised on their device? If you've been an IT pro for any period of time, you have played the game of you've piloted a project, you scoped it out, you figured out how much it was going to cost. All of this maybe depending on your environment, took 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. You invested all this money. The day came and you got that big hardware in and you put it in your server infrastructure. It was great. You spent a whole bunch of money, and by the time you got that in place, the group, the project, or the whatever was canceled. So now you have a $50,000 server in your hardware room and people are putting pictures of dogs and cats on it. Not that there's anything wrong with dogs or cats, but that's probably not why you bought that hardware. So how do you remove that capital expenditure up front and still keep your users productive? How do you move CapEx to OpEx? How do you provide access to legacy applications, our old-style Win applications, that as users move to alternate platforms, how do you ensure they continue to have access? And as people are using these mobile devices, how do you ensure corporate compliance? How do you ensure the data and resources is protected? So Azure Remote App. Azure Remote App is, if you're familiar with desktop virtualization, moving remote app from on-premises into the cloud. So you're leveraging desktop virtualization technology that's been around since the early 90s, mid-90s. You're leveraging Azure's powerful platform and elastic nature. And you're also leveraging Windows Server, a remote FX RDP protocol, So now you have a scalable solution that enables your users on a variety of platforms, iOS, Android, Windows, Macintosh, and you've created a protected environment where even if the device is lost or compromised, your data and resources is still protected because no data or resources is held on that device. Back in the mid-2000s, there was like 2005 or something like that, there was a rash of news articles where companies were getting in the news because somebody left their laptop at the coffee place, at the airport, at the wherever, and they had 3 million social security numbers on the laptop. Why they had 3 million social security numbers on the laptop, who knows? But there just seemed like every month there was something new coming out where PII was lost somehow. Now, don't even put that data on the device. Don't even enable that scenario to happen by removing that data, those data and resources off the device. So introducing Azure Remote App Preview. So this is, and I've talked a little bit about this already, Azure or remote applications similar to on-premise desktop virtualization delivered from Azure's platform. Access from a variety of clients. We currently have clients for Windows, iOS, tablet phone, Android, tablet phone, Mac. So you get a very consistent experience no matter which device you're using. Once they're accessing the application itself, there's no new learning for your users. You don't need to tell your users, oh, if you're on an Android device, here's how you use the program. Since they're all running on a Windows server, they're all Windows-based, there's no new learning. They can access the application directly. It's delivered via Microsoft's Remote Desktop Protocol and RemoteFX. So now you're talking about a mature protocol that's WAN-ready, secure, and enables a great, rich experience for the users. Scale without large capital expense. With Azure Remote App, there's an elastic nature to the system that as servers are needed, they're spun up. As servers are no longer needed, they're deallocated. So as you need servers, it's basically an on-demand type system. As more are needed, they're added. As less are needed, they're deallocated. So as an IT pro, you don't have to do anything. So during part of our preview, one of our customers had a security incident come out while they were using Azure Remote App. During that time period, they reported back to us, they're like, using Azure Remote App during that time period was great, because I didn't have to worry about the care or feeding of that at all. I could focus all my time on that security incident. One thing I ask people as I talk to them is it your business to be in the data center business, to manage data centers? For the majority of people, it's not. That's not what they want to do. That's what they have to do to ensure their users have access to the applications and resources that they need. Instead, move that to the cloud, let us take care of that for you, and you get to move on to move more forward-thinking, cooler projects instead of ensuring that your user can access a server. Flexible deployment options. There are two deployment options. There is a hybrid deployment option and a cloud deployment option. Our two deployment choices, the cloud deployment. This is enables rapid provisioning. So in under 10 clicks, you can get a cloud deployment going. You can either use a template image with Office Professional Plus 2013 already installed, And if you do that, we take care of that environment for you. So all the patching, all the updates, we manage that for you. Flexible identity options. So your users can log in using Microsoft accounts, so live IDs. They can log in using Azure Active Directory or Azure Active Directory synchronized back to your on-premise AD structure. Now, you may have additional requirements. You may want the ability to fully customize the OS. That is now part of the cloud deployment option. But for the hybrid option, that's built in to the system. So you create your own image that you upload. So you control what apps you add to the image and how you want your users to access those apps. You manage the updates for it. But along with that, as so I mentioned the elastic nature, as servers are brought online as they're needed, servers are deallocated as they're no longer needed. As the servers are brought online, they're added to your Active Directory structure on premises. So this means the tools you use to manage your servers in-house, you can also use to manage your Azure remote app servers. So now your group policies, your WSUS servers, you can use to manage those. But for bulk updates, you'd still want to manage your master image, your master template image. Full access to on-premises networks. So using this system, you create a site-to-site VPN, which enables back-end secure access to data and resources. And then finally, the hybrid deployment, you only use corporate credentials for this system. Now, so those are the items that are unique to both. Now let's talk about what's common to both. What's common to both is both are built off Windows Server 2012 R2. I've talked about the elastic nature, the dynamic scalability. As servers are needed, they're brought online. As they're no longer needed, they're deallocated. Global presence. So currently, Azure Remote App can be provisioned in 6 different data centers based in the States, Europe. So 2 in the States, 2 in Europe, and 2 in Asia. High fidelity with RDP and remote FX, so you have a mature technology with a rich user experience. And with remote FX, you also get a secure WAN-ready connectivity. And then finally, the variety of clients. So talking about the two deployment options, I've kind of talked a bunch here to kind of introduce things for you. Now, let's bring Tristan up and let him show you how the cloud deployment and hybrid deployments are created and what that client experience looks like. Tristan?
Thank you, Thomas. So we're going to spend just a couple of minutes to review the components that go into a cloud deployment, and then we'll get into some demos. So all Azure Remote App deployments start with a template image, which is a VHD that has Windows Server installed, as well as any additional Windows applications you want to make available to your end users. You have a couple options for your cloud deployment. You can either custom create your own template image that has whatever apps and configurations you want, or Microsoft has pre-created a template image that you can use that's ready to go with Office installed. We take that template image and we create remote desktop session hosts. And as Thomas mentioned, as users begin to connect to the service, we spin up more session hosts. And then as users begin to log off, we deallocate the session hosts. So the benefit to you is that you don't need to do any capacity planning because we have this elastic runtime. The published apps are just the list of applications that your end users see that they've been given access to. So technically, you as the admin can publish any app from that template image to the users, But practically speaking, if your users don't need to use PowerShell or Notepad or Calculator, you're not going to publish those applications. Now, your end users are out on the internet using whatever devices they like, and they have two options to authenticate. They can authenticate with their Microsoft account, which is what we used to call Windows Live ID, or they can authenticate with their Azure Active Directory account. That Azure AD account can be fully managed in the cloud, or it can be integrated with your on-premises Active Directory deployment. And then after the users have authenticated, they can securely remote into any of those published applications. And they get 50 gigabytes of persistent storage, which means that all of their remote app documents and settings are going to roam with them day to day and even device to device, because all of those settings and documents are stored centrally in Azure. OK, now let's get into some demos. I'm the demo dolly, I believe. You called me right, Thomas?
Yes.
OK. So I've tried to put a local spin on the demos for today. So we're going to be following a fictitious event planning company called Contoso Events as they organize the Running of the Bulls. As a quick reminder, the Running of the Bulls is that old Spanish tradition where people voluntarily run and jump around bulls running down the street to show off how courageous they are. Now, I have to tell you, while I was preparing for this demo and reading about the Running of the Bulls, I just kept thinking to myself, man, these people must be really bored. But then I stopped judging when I remembered that back in the United States, we have a category of sport we call competitive eating, where we sit and watch as one person tries to eat 70 hot dogs in under 10 minutes. So let's start our demo by looking at Contoso Events employee Mort. And let's switch machines here. OK. So Mort is responsible for planning the event and is a dedicated Mac user. Here's the good news for Mort. He has access to all of last year's planning materials posted to the Contoso Events SharePoint site. As we can see here, he has access to last year's budget breakdown, legal agreements, a bunch of good materials to help him get started. Here's the bad news for Mort. He can't actually open and work with some of these files because there's no such thing as Microsoft Project or Visio on a MacBook. Then Mort remembers seeing an email from his IT admin saying something about accessing any application from any device from anywhere. So Mort goes and looks for that email. And as you can see, Mort only has two emails, so it's pretty easy to find. According to Mort's IT admin, all he needs to do is go to this URL, install a client app, and log in with his existing credentials. Now, before we do this, for any of you out there taking notes, this is the most important note you can take, remoteapp.azure.com. This is the landing page for our service where you can see everything you need to get started with Azure Remote App. And we even have a demo environment there where if you invest like 60 seconds, you can connect to the Remote App service and see the end user experience for yourself on your own personal device. So let's click on the link here. As we can see, there's a big button in the top right for Mort to install the client. This goes to a web page that auto-detects Mort is using a MacBook, and it provides a link to the apple.com web page where you can learn about the Microsoft Remote Desktop Client application. And then on this page, it includes a button to the Mac App Store. And this is where you go to download and install the free Microsoft Remote Desktop application. In this case, I've pre-installed it just to save us a bit of time, so I'm going to launch it now. And this is probably looking familiar to many of you because this is the same Microsoft Remote Desktop application we've had out for Mac for a while now. It enables you to connect to individual PCs or on-premises remote desktop services deployments. And now we've just extended it with this new Microsoft Remote App link up here, which enables you to connect to Remote App. So now I'm going to log in with Mort's corporate credentials. Click Continue. And then we'll enter Mort's password and click Sign In. So now we're going to be able to see all of the apps that Mort's IT admin have published to him. And as you can see, Mort Site Admin has published a few line of business planning applications, as well as the Office suite, including Microsoft Project and Visio. So let's double click on Visio. Since Mort has already authenticated, we just create the secure connection to Azure Remote App, and now you see Visio is being streamed to my MacBook. I want to show you now a few options you have for accessing Visio files from this Visio Remote App. So let's click on Computer and Browse. And there's a couple things you see here. First of all, this looks like any other Windows PC. You've got the documents, pictures, music folders. These folders are backed by that 50 gigabytes of persistent storage that each user gets with Azure Remote App. And so if Mort goes and saves a document in the documents folder, that's going to be there waiting for him tomorrow, regardless of which device he connects from. There's something else here I want you to look at. Home on Mort's Mac. This is a capability we call local drive redirection. And so this basically allows you, Mort, to access any files and folders on the device he's remoting from, in this case, his MacBook. So I'm looking at the desktop of Mort's MacBook. I want to call out that this is a toggle that the admin can turn on and off. So, you know, if you have policies around not wanting people to copy stuff to and from the cloud, you can turn this off. Okay, if Mort had files on his personal OneDrive or OneDrive for Business, he could access them from there as well. In his case, the files he wants are on the Team SharePoint site. So let's open the Shared Documents folder. And here we can see the two Visio files from last year's planning that Mort now wants to access. So let's open the site setup. This is basically the layout of the venue from last year's running of the Bulls. So you can see we've got the road where the Bulls are running down, the courageous people running and jumping among the Bulls. We've got a couple first aid sites, a couple bathrooms. And let's say that Mort heard that last year they were short on food options. So he can just go copy and paste a few more food vendors, and he's done. Now he's all set with the venue for this year. So pretty cool, right? Visio on a MacBook. Now I want to talk about what it took for Mort's IT admin to enable this experience for him. And this is one of the things we're most proud about with Azure Remote App, is just how simple it is to get up and running. There's no internet gateways or load balancers or anything like that for you to think about. What I'm going to show you is literally how you can create this deployment for your Mort in less than an hour and with less than 10 clicks. So I am now taking off my Mort hat. I'm no longer Mort. Now I am Mort's IT admin. And what we're looking at on the screen now is the Azure Management Portal. This is where you can manage all of your websites, virtual machines, all of your Azure services, now including Remote App, as you see on the left here. So to create a new cloud deployment, you select New, App Services, Remote App, and then Quick Create. And we're going to give this deployment a name. You can see the six regions we currently support. We'll go ahead and select West Europe. And then, as mentioned before, you have two options for the template image. You can use one of the images created by Microsoft, or you can use your own custom template image. Really quick, I want to highlight that when we first started our preview, we didn't have this option to select your own custom image for creating a cloud deployment. And then we got lots of feedback. We do these group webinars that we host. We have an online feedback form where people can vote for the features they want the most. We do a ton of one-on-one interviews with our customers. And the feedback came in loud and clear that this is something that was blocking deployments. So we quickly made this a top priority, threw some smart engineers on the problem, and then just a few weeks later made this available in our live site. So when you give us feedback, we are listening. And we're iterating on the service really quick. And so, you know, you're going to continue to see more and more features come out of this service week over week. For this demo, I'm just going to select the image that has Office pre-installed. And then I select Create Remote App Collection. So now you see this demo cloud deployment that I created goes into a creating state. And this goes on for about 30 minutes. So I want you to think of this part of the demo as kind of like a baking show. I just showed you how to mix the batter and I put it in the oven, but instead of making you watch it bake, I'm going to jump over to a cake that I've pre-created and show you how to put the icing on top. So our pre-baked cake is called Contoso Cloud, and I'm going to drill into it. As you can see now, so now we've fast-forwarded 30 minutes, and there's really only two things for the admin to think about now. Which applications do you want to publish to your users, and which users do you want to have access to those published applications? You can select these options from the Quick Start page here, or you can do the same thing from these tabs along the top. So if we look at the User Access tab, we can see Mort, as well as some coworkers have access. And as a reminder, these Microsoft accounts can also have access to a cloud collection, which makes, you know, it's really easy to get up and going if that's all you have to start off with. And then if I want to add another user, let's say I want to add Tristan, we validate that that is a real user, click Save, and then now instantly if Tristan at Contoso Events goes to log in, he will see access. He'll have the same access that Mort has. The Publishing tab, also similarly simple, shows you all of the apps that are published currently. This is the same list of apps we saw that Mort had access to. You can unpublish apps. If you want to publish a new app, the easiest way is to select Publish Start Menu Programs. And then what we show you here is all of the applications that are installed on the template image we used with this cloud deployment. So then it's simply a matter of selecting which applications I want to publish, select the checkbox, and then now that application starts publishing. And this action takes about 20 or 30 seconds, and then the users will see that they have access to access as well. While we're here, let's jump over to the Sessions tab. This is kind of neat. This is where you can see the sessions of the users that are currently logged into this cloud deployment. So we see Mort right here, who we just connected with from his MacBook. And you can do things like send them a message and log them off if you need to. Okay, so that's the demo for the cloud deployment. And as Thomas said, we have a whole other deployment option we call hybrid. So let's jump back to our deck here. Okay, hybrid is for a different category of application. As we just saw with the cloud deployment, Visio worked really well because all Mort needed to do was access and modify a file. But many line of business applications are interacting with back-end servers and databases. And many of these applications were written under the assumption that all of these machines, front-end and back-end, are on the same network, joined to the same domain, are able to support the same classic Active Directory protocols like Kerberos and LDAP. We call this deployment option hybrid because it enables you to keep all of those back-end servers right where they are on your corporate network and just uplift the client application into Azure as a remote app. From an identity perspective, hybrid deployments rely on Azure Active Directory and they require the use of DirSync. And there are really two sub-options here. You can use DirSync with the password sync option enabled, or you can use DirSync and configure federation with ADFS. The main point is that your users only need to know one password, and it's their existing password that they use. From a networking perspective, we rely on Azure Virtual Networks, and we require that you set up a site-to-site VPN. And so this is so that those applications running as remote apps in Azure have seamless connectivity back to the resources they need on your corporate network, those back-end servers. And then now that we've integrated the hybrid deployment with your corporate network, with your existing identity infrastructure, we're actually able to join the hybrid deployment to your existing on-premises domain. And so this is really nice because you have policies that apply to all of your users when they log into their domain join machines with their domain join accounts. Those same group policies are going to apply right here. Okay, and this is a similar diagram to what we just saw when we were looking at the cloud deployment, and this shows you some of the changes with the hybrid deployment that we'll walk through next. So since we're talking about your corporate apps, the hybrid deployment, you create the custom template image. It has your apps, your configurations. You just upload it to Azure when you have it set however you want. Hybrid deployments are integrated with your on-premises Active Directory, and we make this really easy to do by using the Azure Active Directory DirSync tool. And then hybrid deployments have a site-to-site VPN set up between your remote app deployment in hybrid or in Azure and your on-premises network where you have your file servers, your databases, and your Active Directory. And then, as mentioned before, those remote desktop session hosts are actually joined to your domain. And so this gives you a seamless management story where you can continue to use group policies, System Center, whatever you use today. So if you didn't pick up on the theme for hybrid deployment, this is really about giving you the flexibility you need to integrate with your existing stuff. And then this enables your existing applications to work for both you as an admin, and your users in a seamless way, the same way that they work today. All right, now back to the demos and Contoso events and the running of the bulls. So the secret sauce of Contoso events is all of the experience and data they've collected over the years from running these events all over the country. Specifically, they've gotten really good at ensuring people attending their events are always safe and having a good time by quickly removing any troublemakers from their events before they cause problems for others. And they started to realize that early on, a lot of these troublemakers were repeat offenders. And so they started tracking these troublemakers in a SQL database, and they even wrote a Win32 client application to make it easier for their security personnel to access and update information about these troublemakers. This worked well for many years, but more recently, their security personnel are showing up on site at the events, and all they have in hand is an Android tablet or phone. And they're demanding the IT department gives them an easier way to access this existing app. And this, conveniently, is a perfect use case for the hybrid remote app deployment. All of that sensitive data that the IT department doesn't feel comfortable moving off their corporate network can stay right where it is. They can just uplift that front-end client application into Azure. There's not a single line of code that needs to be written by the IT department. And the end users get to use whatever devices they like from anywhere, and they get the same user experience that they've been using the last many years. So let's jump over back to our MacBook and take a look at what it would take for the admin to create a hybrid deployment in the Azure Management Portal. So this starts off the same way. I'm going to select New, App Services, Remote App. But then instead of selecting Quick Create, I select Create with VPN. Give it a name, click the checkbox. So now this goes into a creating state for just 5 seconds or so. And then it's going to ask us for some more inputs. OK, so now let's drill into this demo hybrid deployment. Here's the new quick start page. And so the first thing I'm going to highlight is steps 3 and 4 are basically identical to what we saw with the cloud deployment. That's where you publish the applications and pick the users that you want to have access to this deployment. Steps 1 and 2, linking to a virtual network and a template image, these are the net new ones. So let's focus on them. And a lot of the setting up of the virtual network, this is like generic networking stuff that I decided to not focus on in this demo and walk through step by step how to create a site-to-site VPN. So I'm just going to tell you the kind of three big things that need to happen here. First is you need to put a VPN device on the edge of your corporate network. Then, here via the Azure Management Portal, you create a virtual network and you give it a couple key inputs. Some of those are the public IP address of that VPN device you just put on the edge of your corporate network and the IP address space that you've carved out from your existing on-premises network is allocated to this virtual network. This is where you're going to deploy the hybrid remote app deployment. And then once you've created that virtual network, we're going to give you some materials to download. We give you a script and some parameters that you go take back to that VPN device on the edge of your corporate network, and it will configure everything it needs to work with this hybrid deployment. So it's going to set up that secure VPN site-to-site tunnel between your corporate network and this deployment. So if you were to do some of that, you would select the Create New Remote App flow here. In this case, I'm just going to select this virtual network with the VPN already set up. And so this gets us through these first three steps. The next step is going to be joining to the local domain. And so this is where you specify the inputs required for our service to be able to dynamically join those machines in this deployment to your domain. Oops. So the first thing we're going to provide is the name of your domain. Next, we have an optional field for the organizational unit. I'm not going to use it here today, but generally we actually recommend using this as a good way to segregate your accounts and policies that you want to use just for these machines used for Azure Remote App. And then we get a username and password that's authorized to join machines to this domain. So I'll put that in now. OK, click the checkbox. So now we've provided the domain join information. Then the last step here is to link a remote app template image. And let's select the option to upload a new template image. The first thing I'll give is just a name for the template image. The location is pre-selected based off where that virtual network is hosted, in this case, West Europe. And then we click Next. And then what happens now is we're going to give you a script that you can run on your local machine. So if you have your template VHD on your local machine, you run this script, and then the script will prompt you to select the VHD you want to use, and then it will start uploading it into Azure. And so you can imagine if you have a VHD that's 20, 30, or more gigabytes, this can take a while. So one of those good things to do before you go to lunch, and also something I'm not going to demo in front of you right now. So let's go back and select one of those existing template images that I've already uploaded. You can see here I've uploaded two, and in this case, we're providing access to that troublemaker tracking application. And so that's one I've installed on the security apps template image. OK, now that template image is being linked. And after this is completed, the hybrid remote app deployment goes into a creation state for about 30 minutes, similar to what we saw with the cloud deployment. OK. Now, let me switch devices again. Okay, now we're looking at an Android tablet here. So let's fast forward to the day of the event, the running of the bulls, and we're going to follow a different Contoso Events employee named Phil. Phil is responsible for on-site security at the event, and he carries this Samsung Galaxy Tab with him. Now, let's imagine that Phil is doing his rounds, and then someone approaches him complaining about a possible troublemaker. Apparently, someone's in the food court making way too much noise, causing a ruckus, and it's disrupting everyone. So Phil decides to interview this witness and see if he can find out if this is a known troublemaker. So I'm going to click the remote desktop client, and I'm going to sign in using Phil's corporate account. Click continue, and enter Phil's password. And I'm going to pause right here for a second, because you're about to see something different than what we saw with Phil signing in. With Mort signing in. So with Phil, since Phil has access to this corporate application, this hybrid application that's accessing this sensitive data set, back on the Contoso Events corporate network, Phil's IT admin has required that Phil performs multi-factor authentication. And there's a couple different ways that Phil could do this. He could receive a text message or a phone call, but in this case, he's pre-installed the Azure Multi-Factor Auth application from the Google Play Store and pre-configured it for this device. So let's see how that looks. I'm going to click Sign In. The username and password are verified. And you can see I just got a notification saying multi-factor auth has been requested. Now it jumps over to that multi-factor auth application. Of course, I did just request this authentication, so I'm going to verify it. And now I can jump back to the remote desktop application as Phil has been authenticated. And he's being, I don't know why this, he's been requested another authentication. Let's go back. Okay, there we go. So now Phil's been authenticated, and now he's going to see the list of published applications that his IT admin has given him access to. So you can see he has access to a line of business application, and the troublemaker tracker is the main one that he's interested in. So he taps it, and so what I'm showing you here is the day one experience for Phil, the first time he's logging into remote app. So he's getting prompted for his password again. And with any of these password prompts, he can select remember credentials, and then he won't get prompted for that password again the second time he goes to log in. All right, so now we have the troublemaker tracker being remoted to Phil. And you're going to have to take my word for this piece. This data set is actually being queried from a separate SQL server over a VPN tunnel, and it's being authenticated using Phil's domain account. So the SQL server is configured for Windows authentication. And you can see here we have a list of all of the known troublemakers and some of their basic attributes. If you haven't used the remote desktop client on Android, by default it's in touch mode. And so you can see when I go click on a cell, it's just as if I have clicked on a cell with a mouse. There's a different mode I prefer to use called mouse click mode, and you can get to this by clicking on the connection bar at the top, and then there's this little hand down on the bottom right. So now, the whole trackpad, or the whole screen kind of acts like a trackpad for this mouse. And I can zoom in or out, you know, just using the two-finger gestures that we're all used to now. Okay, so let's see if we can find if this is a known troublemaker. Phil starts to interview the witness on basic information about this troublemaker. The witness says that the person was quite tall, almost 2 meters in height. So let's deselect all these shorter people, keep the top two, filter down our list. The witness says that the troublemaker was also quite fit, about 80 kilos. So let's take out these three options. And then the witness also confirmed that it was a male. Okay, and that's all the witness can remember about this troublemaker. So we're down to two. And so what Phil is going to do now is he has a file server on his corporate network, and he's going to see if he can pull up a picture of these two troublemakers to see if the witness can positively identify who the troublemaker is. So on the left, we have the troublemaker known as Zorro. And on the right, we have the worst troublemaker of all, known as Thomas the Terrible. Thomas has been evicted from 15 events previously. So when questioning the witness says they look very similar, they have similar attributes, but they ultimately confirm that Thomas the Terrible is the one creating all of the ruckus and causing problems in the food court. And so Phil now knows he's in for a long day, but at least he knows who he's dealing with. So I'm going to end the demo there. Unfortunately, Thomas the Terrible causes lots of problems at events when he's visiting Spain. But the good news is that he's also quite knowledgeable in Azure Remote App. And so I'm going to hand back the presentation to Thomas here. He's going to wrap it up, and then we'll do some Q&A. Thank you.
OK, in my defense, I'm a loud talker. That just happens. That's kind of not my fault. OK, so we've talked about multiple deployment options. Tristan has demoed both the cloud deployment and the hybrid deployment. But when do you know, or how do you know, which option to select? Let's kind of go through some selection options and figure out when do you select one over the other. So remote app cloud deployment, you would use a remote app cloud deployment if you want to use the Office, the pre-populated image that we've created for you with Office 2013 Professional Plus already installed, and you want us to manage the image for you. So you want us to patch, update, and manage that image. You would use the cloud deployment if you want rapid provisioning. You saw how straightforward it was to get the cloud deployment going. I mean, Tristan managed to create a cloud deployment and start it provisioning during the time of his demo. I mean, it seriously took less than 10 clicks, and once in that 30-minute provisioning cycle, once that's ready, you just go through the additional steps and you're ready to go. Identity flexibility. So if you want the ability to use Microsoft accounts, Azure Active Directory accounts, or Azure Active Directory integrated with your Active Directory structure on premises, cloud deployment's the way to go. Also, if you want your Azure Remote App structure isolated from your network, you don't want integration, you want it completely separate, cloud deployment's the way to go. Now, if your options or requirements include things like you must have secure access back to on-premises, you want that data and resources to not be held in the cloud, you want them on your corporate network, now you want hybrid. You only want corporate credentials to be able to be selected. You don't want live IDs or other type of IDs to be able to be added. And then finally, you want the ability to have servers domain joined for that hybrid management scenario. Hybrid is the way to go. Patching and updates. So we've touched on this a little bit. There are kind of two different patching and updating kind of workflows. One is you've selected the platform image or the template image that comes with cloud deployment. Using this image, we update it for you. So we manage ensuring that the application is updated, that patches are put on the operating system, and that image is managed for you. The custom image. Whether you've used or selected the custom image for cloud or for hybrid, you will manage the patching for that environment. That means you will ensure that the business applications are updated. You will ensure that updates are associated. Now, Tristan talked about in the architectural diagrams the elastic nature of Azure Remote App. As in the hybrid deployment, as users are, or as servers are spun up, they're domain joined, and you can then manage those servers from that domain joined system. But if you want to ensure that all of them are updated, then you need to update the template image and re-upload it. Features. Currently, price per user during the trial period that it's in right now, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. And I don't know about you, but to me, free is pretty compelling. Especially when free comes along with, it's dang cool. So Azure Remote App, in its current iteration, during the trial, is free. The server version, as I mentioned, all Azure Remote Apps have Windows Server 2012 R2 as their back end. So Tristan mentioned creating that template image. You create it on 2012 R2. You install RDS on it. You install your line of business apps on it. And then you sysprep it. At that time, it will be available to be uploaded into your environment. Office Professional Plus 2013 is available on the template image we've created for you. Bring your own applications. We've also enabled that scenario for both cloud and hybrid deployments. Plan device OS support, so we support a variety of operating systems. Microsoft account support, so that, again, that identity flexibility. Storage per user. Each user gets 50 gigabytes of Azure-based storage. So now, no matter what device you're accessing it from, you'll always have access to your storage. So if I start a scenario, I'm working on that database. Maybe I'm getting rid of some entries, but I want to do that on a Windows system in the office. I can get on my keyboard and I can manage that. Now I want to access that same database or structure from a mobile device. I can go on my mobile device, and in the exact same way, I access that information. And with that storage behind, when I've saved that information, no matter what device I'm on, I have access to that same storage area. And then regions that this service is available in. Innovating using your feedback. This is something that's really important to us, is we're listening to the feedback that you're giving us. I talked about the scenario with the clients where we've done multiple release updates for the remote desktop clients. We've done multiple iterations to update and add access to the template image. Some updates that we've made. Clients connecting exclusively over HTTPS, so port 443. We've standardized that port. Initially, through Azure Remote App, we were using some non-standardized ports. And some customers gave us the feedback that, you know, that doesn't really work for us. We want a more standardized port. Well, we changed it. Custom template image for cloud deployment. Initially, we only enabled, when you selected the template image or when you selected the cloud deployment, you could only select the Office Professional Plus image that we set up for you. We received feedback from our customers that, hey, I want to isolate the structure. I don't want to have a hybrid deployment, but I want to bring my own image. Again, we listened. We're on a much more agile cycle now. Before, used to be major releases every 4 years, and then between those, we would have the minor release, the R2, no, well, not a minor release, but not a major release, an R2 release. We're off of that cadence. Environments are a lot more agile now. Customers have a lot more flexible needs. Their needs are changing. And we're showing, by kind of doing this, our commitment to ensuring that y'all have the features that you need. Coming soon. Create template image within Azure IaaS. So one set of feedback that we got is, hey, creating that VHD locally and then having to upload it, depending on what my connection speed is, that can take a really long time. Instead, we're going to enable the ability to build this image in IaaS and then port it over. Another bit of feedback that we received is, hey, I want to be able to use an existing VNet that I've already created in Azure. I don't want to have to custom create it in Azure Remote App. I want to leverage what I have. We're going to enable that. Related content. So some other sessions you might want to take a look at. Deploying remote desktop services roles in Azure and private cloud. So now this is a session that's going to talk about moving your RDS infrastructure into IaaS. Investments in remote desktop services. In this session, we're going to talk about desktop virtualization updates to the next version of server. So that's our coming soon in Windows Server environment. And then there's also an instructor-led lab that I would suggest you peruse. Microsoft Azure Remote App. So you'll be able to get some hands-on experience in a lab environment of how some of this stuff works. Now, you may not want to configure this whole environment just to kick the tires. That's okay. Like Tristan said, that remote app, windowsazure.com, go install the client and then use a Microsoft ID to log in. You'll gain access to a demo set of apps just to show you how it works. Look at it across a couple different devices that you may use in your environment. See what you think. Couple resources, the RDS team blog, the TechNet wiki. Enterprise mobility track resources. So desktop virtualization is part of enterprise mobility. Enterprise mobility including identity, mobile device management, and information protection. Desktop virtualization kind of slots into all three of those and enables you or gives you another way to extend your network and keep your users productive on alternate platforms on the devices of their choice. Finally, your resources, Channel 9, MS Learning, TechNet, Developer Network. So there's a variety of resources to keep you going and keep you learning. Finally, the typical end of session slides. Don't forget to look at your schedule builder, build out your session, the TechEd mobile app, and then finally the QR code that you can use to evaluate the session. Thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it. If you have any questions, before I'm not just going to release you into the wild, though if you're done, you can be done. If you have questions, you can feel free to come up to the mic, ask some questions. We'll bring Tristan back up. If you're shy and don't want to ask in front of the mic, that's fine. You can come up to us later. Like I said, the suggestion is get to Azure Remote App, try the trial. To sign up for the trial is really straightforward. All you need to do to sign up for the trial is go into the management portal where Tristan went, new apps, remote app. That remote app will be grayed out for you. And on the right-hand side, there'll be a link that says try remote app. Click that link and it'll add you to the queue. By the way, the person who manages the queue is sitting right over here. Oh, good. Hey, look, we have questions. That's awesome.
Thanks. I've got a couple of questions, actually. So I've got two. Firstly, just about FTAs. Obviously, with traditional remote app, we had the option to install an MSI locally on the client to trigger the FTA so they could launch that Visio document directly. How do you see that? Yeah, the FARTOP associations.
Okay.
So you know, launching the document directly and therefore triggering into that remote app environment. Do you see that as a challenge going forward or anything that we're looking to address?
We've actually received both requests. So yeah, being able from your local Windows machine to use file type association to launch the remote app, and then the opposite, to be able from your remote session to be able to launch a local app. So the first one is like either number one or number two on our feedback form right now. So that's another one that's just popped up to the top of our list.
So local to remote app.
Local file type association to the remote app. So that's on our short list.
Brilliant. And then secondly, just around management, I noticed that, you know, every user gets all of those apps that are available. Is there plans to have more granular kind of management of, you know, this user gets X, Y, and Z, and this other user gets their particular apps without having to do separate deployments?
Yeah, also on our list, not on the very top of the list, but we've seen a handful of requests for that. Basically being able to, like you say, instead of saying all users to all apps, being able to say these users, these apps.
Great.
Yeah. One thing you can do to get around that is to create multiple collections, and then you can have a single user associated to multiple collections. So you may have your general apps, and then your sales apps, your marketing apps, your, you know, whatever. So you could have a user associated to general and to sales. So there's one way at this time to kind of mitigate that issue.
And the other thing I'll just say is, like, the best way to get us to do this work faster is to go into this feedback forum and vote for them. And so I think we have links to them in the...
There is. So on that quick start page that Tristan showed you, if you scroll to the bottom, there's a link to the support form.
And also in the client, I think there's a pointer to the feedback form. You can go vote for the thing you want, and you know we look at that all the time to see what's trending.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So in your demo, you typed in the user's name or email address into the remote app application. Then you click continue. Then you got their name up again. Then you typed in their password. And it looked like the email address was two or three times it appeared. Is there a way that if I am domain joined and I've got ADFS, it's just straight through? Let's take an Exchange Online example in my technology. If I use a custom domain or a vanity domain, so I go to remote.contoso.com, it knows that contoso.com is ADFS. And so as soon as I enter my email address, it's like bang, 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 and I'm back and I'm in.
Yes. And so, you know, the short way to think about this is, you know, the same experiences you have on your devices today when logging into other Azure AD-based services, like if you're logging to the Azure Management Portal, you get the same thing. So if you're on a domain joined Windows machine, and you have a policy where if the machine's on the corporate network to do like integrated authentication for that user, yeah, you won't even see that prompt. You will enter the email address, but then after that, you buzz past the authentication.
Hi, a couple of questions. Firstly, the infrastructure as a service to manage your virtual applications effectively. So if you're going for the cloud deployment, do you see kind of an industry being created around Windows updates? And every single time you want to keep your image patched, you've got to service a VM either locally or in the cloud and then apply it. Are you going to be moving your management stuff into?
So I think, are you asking, like, in the case of the platform image that we provide, yeah, you don't need to do any Windows updates or anything. You're saying, okay, if you create a template image, all you really care about is your application.
Sure.
And it'd be nice if you didn't have to worry about like Windows updates or things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's something we're talking about. It's also on our list of ideas to look at. But also, you know, not on the top of the list right now. But that's almost a no-brainer of, you know, of course you would like an option to not need to do that. That's great feedback.
And I guess the other thing for me is I feel like I've just met a drug dealer for the first time and I've tried it and it's good. But with respect to the pricing, when do you think you're going to kind of have indicative?
Yeah. Tristan's like, it's off to you. So pricing, we're looking at GA the first half of calendar year 15, and we will have pricing available at that time.
Okay. And what kind of models are you thinking of using in terms of the different ways we play for as your services today? You know, is it per user, number of users, size?
So I think you kind of cut out a little bit while you were asking the question. So the question is around what kind of models are we evaluating? At this point, we're taking feedback and we're evaluating a couple different models to see what works best. Again, this goes back to one of the reasons that we set this out in trial and have left it in trial for so long is back to that, and I know it sounds marketing and it sounds kind of fluffy, but we're really committed to creating the right service. So that's why we're kind of taking our time with the billing and licensing model to make sure that we're kind of really hitting the nail on the head.
Any other questions? Guess not.
Well, great. Thank you for your time today. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of Tech Ed and enjoy Barcelona.